to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate, send the fundage. No, your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664, and call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is your Choosy Not broadcast. You know, the man, the legend, broadcasting from an underground studio in Burbank, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's good to be here in the underground studio, the underground bunker, in the Batcave.
Tell us about the Batcave. I'm going to take the phone cover off.
There's a bat computer here, which is enormous. I don't know if you remember, the bat computer is absolutely enormous. And the Batmobile's here, and there's a bat pole that you can just slide down from Stately Wayne Manor, and or Stately Slattery Manor, I guess. And it's a good place. All sorts of bat stuff.
Well, hopefully you have Mr. T behind the controls, jiggling them and keeping us out of trouble, and we can just get started here. I wanted to start with this National Justice Report. You can find it at justicereport.news. And, you know, we had Warren Baylog on the show a couple of months back. Oh, man, that was in February, wasn't it? No way the year's gone. So they ended up protesting just a few days ago, and this is concerning the shooting of Jamie White and family, White family, by the black man Robert Louis Singletary. And I covered this on my show Thursday night. And at that time on Thursday, Jamie White had made it out of the hospital okay. I guess the bullet had punctured a lung and damaged his liver, splintered out and hit his daughter in the face. He acted as a human shield for his daughter, so he's truly a hero. And, of course, Singletary is not getting charged with hate crimes. He ended up fleeing and made it to Florida before they finally got him. So just starting off with the article on Justice Report, Gastonia, North Carolina, local supporters and central committee members of the pro-white advocacy organization, the National Justice Party, marched to demand justice for the White family on Saturday. The latest round of on-the-ground political action comes in the wake of racially motivated shooting in Gastonia, where a six-year-old white girl and her family were allegedly shot by a black man after he admitted that he didn't like white people. And actually, he was yelling MF and white people and all of that. He was cursing them. So let's talk about this. I like that lingo, on the ground political action, because politics are more than just voting. Because apparently, I don't think voting is going to get us out of this. Do you, Patrick?
Well, it's a multi-pronged approach, and there's a role for voting. I'm going to vote in the I couldn't remember whether I was registered as a Republican or a Democrat. I guess I've been a Republican for a while. I don't know. I'm going to vote in the Republican primary. I don't know anybody on the ballot, and I don't care. I'm going to do it for the heck of it, just because. But one important part of politics, which I've engaged in my entire life, is demonstrations and. Been to all sorts of anti-war demonstrations and others. I've been to, for a while, I was going every year to end the Fed demonstrations. There was a whole end the Fed movement in the wake of Ron Paul's presidential runs and the Fed. And those were fun. You know, other stuff. Obviously, I was at Charlotte. Yeah.
I like end the Fed. I'm sorry to interrupt. I like end the Fed because I think he was doing audit the Fed. Did he ever do in the Fed, or was this a separate
protest? He was doing end the Fed. That was his whole thing. Fed. He couldn't get any co-sponsors for end the Fed bills. Bernie Sanders was willing to co-sponsor a audit the Fed. So that's where the audit the Fed came from. But Ron Paul himself is an end the Fed guy. So, you know, and so I've gone to a lot of these things. I went to Charlottesville, although I was there as a journalist, and I was embedded with Black Lives Matter. So I wasn't actually part of the demonstrators, but I did go down there. And others, I've been at others. But the thing is, in, you know, 2017, thereabouts, white people had their right to peacefully assemble, to express their grievances, to, oh, what is it? To petition the government for grievances, which is, that is a fundamental First Amendment right. That was taken away from us. And, you know, it was taken away from us, not strictly by the government, but it was taken away from us I don't want to use the word conspiracy, but by a joint effort between the government, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and the media, and we lost it. You know, you had Richard Spencer was going around. There were people who were going around, for instance, going from university to university, making speeches, knowing that it would cause outrage and shall I say butthurt. And I don't think that was a bad thing to do, but in it wound up being that every time Richard Spencer and his friends would go out, it started, you know, they'd go out. Sometimes you'd have the Traditionalist Workers Party go along in what do you call it? Kind of weird uniforms and whatnot. And it wound up being counterproductive for a while, but still, it's really important to have this right to demonstrate and to petition the government to redress grievances. This is fundamental. And so I'm really glad that in this case, the National Justice Party is doing this, that they're staging demonstrations that are successful. And when I say successful, I don't mean they get the government or the courts or the police to do what they want. In this case, at this point, a successful demonstration is a demonstration that gets a certain amount of attention, does not wind up in violence, does not wind up in embarrassment. And if they're pulling it off, then good for them.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you could say conspiracy is a safe word. I mean, if the media and BLM and the Fed
it's kind of out in the open. That's why I avoid the word conspiracy.
All right. Granted. But I mean, you know, and then you couple that with Feds and informants infiltrating all of these groups. Like, I'm sure the Traditional Workers Party was infiltrated. I mean, we know the 3%ers and Proud Boys were. And so they sabotage these demonstrations that are legit, like Charlottesville and January 6th. And then the media comes in and they film it and put the spin on it. And the purpose of it, you know, is to make these pro-white demonstrators or any kind of demonstration against the government to redress grievances, they make that look bad. They give it bad optics, right? And then, of course, there's people... Feds among the crowds doing bad optics, like holding up like swastika flags or dressing up like, you know, militant groups. And we know the deal. So, yeah, that very well stated that these demonstrations have been, you know, have been made to look bad through the media. But what the NJP is doing and what I like is, I mean, this is politics. That's why I liked you know, how they call it on the ground political action. Politics are more than just voting. And so they're protesting on behalf of something that is that normal white people can look at and be sympathetic to. Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, so they're protesting this white family getting shot up, and the black man, even though he was cursing and yelling anti-white slurs, he's not getting hit with a hate crime. You know, just like they protested the young boy, the Liming boy. What was his first name? I was going to look that up. The one that got beat down. What was it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like the guy in Chicago that was beat up by four blacks in an apartment? He was a learning disability.
Well, you have that, but there's one where the young boy got beat up on a playground. Ethan Lyman. Okay. Yeah, Ethan Lyman, that's the one. And so, again, those blacks didn't get and the boy was killed. And I think they just got manslaughter and no hate crime charges.
You're talking about what happened on LeBron James's school's playground, right?
Yeah.
That was a private school owned by or founded by LeBron James.
Right.
I don't know if anybody there was associated with the school or if they was just using the basketball courts. Yeah. No, there's so much that goes on that it never gets covered. And this is why we've got why people are so confused is if you get Trayvon Martin or Brown, what was the guy's name? Michael Brown or George Floyd. First of all, it's not that they didn't do nothing. They did something. They did something, right? First of all. Second of all, it gets national news. Third, it gets covered. It's in the news cycle day after day, week after week, month after month. So the amplification is it's like it's cubed, right? It's cubed, you know, as opposed to squared. It's cubed. Whereas whatever happened to Ethan Liming or whatever, maybe it gets in the local news. So, okay, first of all, something did happen, right? And he did nothing or almost nothing, right? And in the case of like that you're talking about in the Carolinas with the guy getting shot and his daughter getting shot through his own body or something, they did nothing, absolutely nothing. Second, at most it gets in local news. It doesn't get in national news unless you're looking at some low-profile website. So nobody sees it. And then third, it disappears from the news cycle in a day or two, typically. And that's that. And right. But this kind of stuff happens all the time. Colin Flaherty had an entire YouTube channel devoted to it until it got taken down multiple times. Did you even hear about the youths in is it suburban Houston or some big metropolitan area in Texas where the youths got in a fight in the hallway in a high school, and then a white female assistant principal tried to break it up, and then the entire mob just turned on her and beat the hell out of her, and she can't talk, and she's in the emergency room. Uh-huh. Did you even hear about that?
Oh, no. I did not.
No. Yeah. But this kind of stuff happens day after day after day. And so that people are so confused because these often fake stories about white violence on blacks, they get amplified to the third power, whereas these very common occurrences of black violence against whites, nobody ever hears about. I mean, and this is not a profound take. I mean, we all know that's the case.
And that's the hypocrisy. You know, the blacks who killed Ethan Liming near the basketball court, that was in Akron, Ohio. You know, no hate crime charges. Yeah. I think they even just got manslaughter. And I don't know, you know, the Robert Louis Singletary, you know, we don't know what he's going to be. You know, what the sentence is going to be there. We'll have to follow it. But so far, no hate crime. But you can bet that if a group of white adults beat down a 17-year-old black boy on a basketball court, killed him, that there would be hate crime charges. And it would not be manslaughter. It would be first-degree murder. You can bet that if a white man ran at a black family in Gastonia, North Carolina, yelling the N-word, and shooting at a black family, you can bet that he would get hate crime charges and attempted murder and all kinds of other charges. You can bet that. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. This is what the NJP is trying to expose, and this is why they protested and they're picky and choosy about their protests. This is something, this shooting of Singletary, by Singletary, shot Jamie White and family. This is something that regular, ordinary white Americans can be sympathetic to. Hey, what's going on here? Why are they trying to kill us? Why is there no hate crime? You know, the NJP has a point. So they pick protests that, you know, are going to be, that the public is going to be sympathetic to. That's the point. And that's one of the points that Warren was making on the show when he was mm-hmm. on Patrick and Jeremy. So this is definitely, you know, politics. This is a political action that's going to get very good results. And I think that they're doing a very good job of building support for their party for one day when it becomes relevant, you know, an actual, you know, running someone, maybe, you know, running someone on the ballot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole different thing. And right now they don't seem to be moving in that direction, but it's okay. Because there's more to politics than running for office, and there's more to politics than going around shooting guns. And we really did have our right to assemble taken away. And, you know, I brought up Richard Spencer, and sometimes Richard Spencer says some things that one could, you know, take exception to or disagree with, whatever. But he had every right to... And then these weren't even demonstrations. He was just going to colleges making speeches, but the college campuses became so violent that he needed, in effect, some sort of security detail, and that he'd go around. And it stopped working very well. And it's a shame. It's not that he was doing something wrong, but that the powers that be were just letting Antifa run wild. And then, of course, he had a very legitimate demonstration, a peace demonstration across the street from the White House. I think it was after the first bombing of Syria in mm-hmm. 2017. The daughter girl, Ivanka Wants a Pony bombing.
Right.
And he had a demonstration in Lafayette Park, where I've been to so many demonstrations. And he got attacked. Then he got punched in the face on camera and, you know, wound up being escorted away by police. But the thing is, it shouldn't have been him that was escorted away by the police. The police should have arrested all the violent people. He had the right to be there, but we lost that right. We really did. And, you know, you can say, well, we have that right to go out and just go out and demonstrate. But at this point, you really do want to be careful. You want to pick and choose what you're going to do, where you're going to do it. And like I want to reiterate, success, the way we have to judge success for these demonstrations is not whether their grievance is redressed. It is whether, at this point, it's whether they can go out there and demonstrate in public and hopefully get at least some media. That was always an object before the internet. You wanted to get some media and have no violence and have basically good optics, and from the people that see it get some sympathy. That's success, and it seems to me that so far so good.
Yeah, talk about good optics. If you look up this Justice Report article, you know, you got several pictures here. You have Warren, of course, is out front with a megaphone. He's dressed in normal, you know, black T-shirt and jeans. All the protesters are dressed like normal American people.
And I'm alone. Skin, yet chill me to the bone.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Mm-hmm. A class action lawsuit over censorship has been filed. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Children's Health Defense has filed a lawsuit against President Biden and several top offices over government pressuring social media companies to censor users. The First Amendment is clear. The government cannot stifle speech. Asking a third party, like a social media company, to censor is still a violation of our rights. No matter who is actually doing the censoring, if it's being directed by the government, then it is a violation of First Amendment protected speech. Any government who silences anyone who questions their authority is tyrannical and authoritarian. My question is, why did it take so long to file this lawsuit? The White House admitted that they were doing this 2 years ago. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sebas Pashem, Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You turned and you ran. Oh, yeah. Wolf lived right.
You have Warren, of course, is out front with a megaphone. He's dressed in normal, you know, black t-shirt and jeans. All the protesters are dressed like normal American people. There's no uniforms or helmets or swastikas. There's nothing weird, you know, that would turn the public off. And they all have signs. Just this paragraph describing the scene, marching in front of Gaston County Courthouse, volunteers and supporters of the NJP chanted, "Justice for whites," and "anti-violence, anti-white violence, media silence." And they carried signs that read, "Jamie White is a hero," and hate crimes charges now." Very good optics. Mm-hmm. Jamie White is a hero. Everybody in that local community would understand that and would sympathize for that, that this man got in front of his daughter and blocked bullets, literally. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, declaring White a hero. And Warren actually interviewed Jamie White, and I think they're trying to get him on a podcast, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But Warren did get to talk to the man, and so yeah, this is good stuff. Good stuff happening here, and like you mentioned, it may be a while before they get anybody on the ballot, and maybe there's a lot of things that they need to learn about doing that. But for now, building local support everywhere they go. That's major, because when the time does come to get someone on the ballot, people are going to remember. People are going to remember that the NJP stood up for the oppressed and the downtrodden. You know, that's good stuff.
Well, yeah, but also there is a lot of value in reestablishing the right to protest. That's a big deal in and of itself, right? And I've been involved in a lot of third party politics, and genuine third parties, I mean, occasionally you'll get somebody who was a, you know, a Democrat and then runs as an independent, or was a Republican and runs as an independent because they lost a primary, like Lisa Murkowski or the senator from Alaska. She's still in there. Or, Joe Lieberman, the senator from Connecticut. They both lost primaries for their parties and then ran as an independent and won. So that happens, winning as an independent, but that's not really a legitimate third party. And in my lifetime, well, really? I mean, somebody from a real third party who won a statewide office, the only person I can think of is Jesse Ventura. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so even then, the third party politics is usually about just getting issues on the table. It's not even about winning usually. I mean, hopefully one day it'll be about winning. But we're not that close to it. So if they starting getting people on the ballot, and that's all good stuff too. That's all good. But I think there's a lot of value just in reasserting the right to demonstrate, because we'd lost it. And it's a very, very fundamental right. That's why it's in the First Amendment.
To that point, you know, I was mentioning to you off air, one of the most heinous murders that has happened recently in my childhood small town, my hometown of Mayfield, Kentucky. You had this black man, Terry Lee Froman. Now, this happened back in 2014. He had been living with a white girlfriend and her son for 4 years. She broke up with him, and he came into the house to kill her. And her son at that time was 17. And the 17-year-old boy stood and, you know, got in between them. And Terry Foreman, the black man, killed the boy, kidnapped the female, and they drove all the way up into Ohio before they were eventually caught. But he ended up murdering her. So he murdered both her and her son. Now, back in 2020, he, you know, did get the death penalty. But I'm pointing this out because in a town like Mayfield, if you could have protests, you know, that called for, you know, some type of justice on the part of this family, and that called for an end to black on white violence, that would have resonated with the people here in this small town. Even though no one here, you know, would consider themselves racist or, you know, or even white nationalists, they wouldn't even use the word pro-white. Nobody would say that. But if somebody would have just stepped up and done a protest on behalf of this family that got killed, that would have resonated big time, bigly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of truth in there, what you're saying. The right to protest needs to be restored. And the only way to do it is to get out and do it, I guess. But just choose your protest wisely.
Choose the protest wisely. And that seems to be what they're doing. So that's good. I will just, you know, you mentioned somebody getting the death penalty. I'm philosophically opposed to the death penalty, and I was maybe practically too. Obviously, there are people who deserve to die for their crimes. But, you know, there are a lot of things. Is it really for men to put other men to death? You could say things like that. But also from a more practical standpoint, if we have a death penalty, you know, the way things are now, what about racism? You know, is it too far-fetched? Would hate crimes bump up a sentence from life to death? You know, so I honestly don't trust the government with a death penalty.
There's no one taking your place. The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? it installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the blues, just like a summer song. And stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
With hate crimes, bump up a sentence from life to death, you know. So I honestly don't trust the government with a death penalty. And so I'm just throwing that out there. Not that,
well,
I don't,
you kind of just a little bit, I don't think you wanted to, you maybe just a little bit backed me into a religious corner, and I don't want to go too much on it, but let me acquiesce to your point that yes, I think that since we have a corrupt government, and an illegitimate government in that, and talking about the federal government in particular, yes, they could use something like the death penalty illegitimately, as you're pointing out. So there is that, and I'll acquiesce to that point. But being established on Christian principles, I think that the U.S. Understood that, you know, the death penalty came from God, and it was their Christian understanding that, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's not vigilantism, by the way. That is saying that the punishment must fit the crime. That's sort of a Christian principle. It's Old and New Testaments. And so, in other words, from their perspective, from the people that started this country, you know, God gives the right to life. And God gives the right to take life under certain circumstances, and murder is one of them. That's where they were coming from when the death penalty was established here. But I do see your point that a corrupt government can use these things corruptly.
Yeah.
So I'll probably just leave it at that.
Okay. Well, that's all fair.
And getting back to politics and voting, I don't think voting is totally useless. Like in Kentucky, we redistrict our our legislature, which is 3/4 majority Republican. Not that the Republicans are anything great, but in this particular state, we have a lot of good people, a lot of good men that are Republicans that made a lot of good legislation in the last 3 years. And one of them was to redistrict the lines, the electoral lines, so that Lexington, Frankfort, and Louisville cannot control the gubernatorial election like they have in the past. So we got a gubernatorial election this year in fall, this year, and I'm sure is going to be out of there. And I'm going to vote in that one. I think it's worth it. I think my vote will count. And, you know, I'm going to vote for the various legislators that I think will do the best job for the state. So maybe on a state level, depending on where you're at, voting is still a thing. I don't think it is for the, you know, federal candidates, specifically the president. I'm still not budging off of that. But if you want to push back, please go ahead.
Well, I would vote anyway. I don't, you know, people might say, oh, well, if you vote in a corrupt election, you're just validating it. I'd still vote anyway. Part of it, like I say, I've been involved in third parties my whole life. I don't expect the person I vote for to win anyway. And I've always thought that the system was rigged against third party candidates, but I vote anyway. I don't know. I do.
Well, I am in the camp, you know, that says that voting in the federal election is just legitimizing it. And I feel like that the federal government needs to be delegitimized and collapse. But you know, that's where I'm at.
All right.
So let's get on talking of protests. Let's shift over to Europe. Are you ready to shift to France?
I'm ready to shift.
So apparently these protests in France are getting way out of hand. From Reuters, French police clash with black-clad anarchists during May Day rallies. Here's the key notes of the summary. Demonstrators pelt police with projectiles in Paris. Vehicles set ablaze in Lyon. Anger over pension reforms fuels French protests, and May Day protests are now taking place all across Europe, and the police are really cracking down on these. Kind of a yellow vest 2.0, maybe. I'm feeling like, you helped me out here, I'm feeling like that there's more than just pension reform. That maybe it's just the whole, you know, support of Ukraine. The whole thing of migrants flooding Europe. I mean, these people have to be mad about more than just their pensions.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think we're being told the whole story.
Well, you know, there's just like we've had our right to protest taken away. I think people feel safer about protest. Well, first of all, the French are really good at protesting, and they're really good at overthrowing their government. They've done it over and over and over again, and there really is a learning effect. All these people, if you go through the French educational system, you're going through elementary school and high school and whatever, you are learning about the Bastille. You're learning about the Revolution of 1848. You're learning about all these times that the government's been overthrown. You're learning about Charles de Gaulle, who it was effectively a coup d'etat where he took over. You learn about all these things. And of course, Charles de Gaulle, he was effectively ousted, forced to resign amidst protest. So the French know about it. They kind of know the formula. But even so, there may be some issues that are easier to organize around, let's just say it that way. It might be a little hard to organize around anti-immigration. It might be hard even to organize around anti-war, although there's an offshoot of Marine Le Pen's party that is hardcore, and they've had some, you know, respectable-sized demonstrations against the war in Ukraine. But the pension reform is something that affects a lot of people. And, you know, honestly, it wouldn't be as nearly as high on my list as war or immigration, but a lot of people can organize around it. And there's so many people out, and, you know, they're busting into the Paris Stock Exchange. I mean, they're really going hardcore. And it's, if this goes a little bit, if it gets any more intense, the idea of Macron resigning isn't too far-fetched. It could happen.
Well, unfortunately, in a democracy, people can get this a false sense of satisfaction by leaders resigning.
In a democracy, what people think matter, right? The will of the people isn't taken into consideration in a democracy.
No, isn't that ironic? It's the illusion. It's the illusion of the will of the people that keeps them placated. And so to placate all of these protesters, they can placate them by just changing up the leadership and putting in people that are at or worse, or they can crack down, which could subdue them, or it could foment even worse protests. So probably the path of least resistance, which seems to be the path that most of these Jewish-dominated elites choose, the path of least resistance is just to say, well, look, your democracy worked. We're going to get rid of Macron. We're going to put in whoever. And the problems are still going to be there, and then maybe get rid of the people, for the moment. I'm afraid that that's probably what's going to happen. But maybe not. Yeah. I don't see them all throwing the government.
They've done it numerous times in the past. If any country is good at it, it's France. It's not like in Britain, where the prime minister, last autumn we saw Boris Johnson exit, and then 5 weeks later we saw Liz Truss exit. But what difference did it make? It really didn't make much of a difference. They're still doing the wars. They're still doing the immigration. They're still doing all the same stuff, the anti-white stuff. They're still doing, and that's the conservatives. In France, you tend to get much more fundamental change. So I don't know. I don't know what would happen. But we'll see. But even if they don't get change, even if it's just individual politicians paying with their political career, I'd still rather that than nothing.
And I see what you mean about the people organizing around certain things that are safe, I guess. I mean, didn't mm-hmm. they storm BlackRock's offices? And I'm sure it was this whole anti-capitalist gone wild type thing. But I mean, really, what if the protest said, we do not want Jewish finance here, just ruin us. That would take a whole different turn in the media than what actually happened. If they said BlackRock is ran by Jews, Larry Fink, Jews will not rule over us. That would be a whole different dynamic in the protests.
But yeah, of course, they said, yeah, we don't want Jews. Bring in the Chinamen. Would rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. That would be funny.
That would be interesting.
I want to say something that I'm on the verge of changing my motto, because I'd rather be ruled by North Koreans than Jews. I really would.
That's going to get us a lot of good positive mail.
But seriously, because look at, I mean, you've had the Kim family has been ruling North Korea since 1948. And when they took over, North Korea would have been like 99% Korean. And today it's 99% Korean. Well, how about us under Jewish rule? Since in 1948, we would have been about 90% white. And now we're what, 56 or something? I mean, we're under 60. And you can see where it's going. The North Koreans are going to survive the Kim dynasty. We are not surviving Jewish rule. So, once again, I'd rather be ruled by North Koreans than Jews.
Because you're not facing demographic displacement and even genocide of white people of European descent. Another way this whole protest could take a turn, if they chose the correct signs, is, we will not be replaced by third world brown immigrants. That would be another thing that would add some dynamics to this, if they would do that. And that would see a whole different kind of crackdown, a whole different kind of media coverage.
But, you see these French demonstrations, they're in Paris, they're in Lyon, and maybe they're in some other place, maybe they're in Marseille, but you mentioned Lyon. And I've been to Lyon, I've been to Paris, and they have massive non-white populations. So, you know, take that into consideration.
Well, speaking of displacement, if we can shift over to El Paso, with Title 42 ending, I believe it's May 11th, El Paso enters a state of emergency to prepare for the end of Title 42. This is interesting as Biden ends the alleged COVID emergency pandemic. We have a new state of emergency in El Paso where all of these people, all of these third world detritus are waiting to pour into the U.S., knowing that they're not going to get turned back, but they're going to get processed. What does this process even mean? Probably some sort of release into the general public while they're awaiting a court date. Is that your understanding of processed?
Yes. And they get a, what is it? Is it a Form 770? It's something like that. And the form has a court appearance date on it. Well, the thing is, the immigration courts, as it is now, they'd always been backed up by, say, 3 years, but are they backed up something like 9 or 10 years now? So people just, they're just let in. And these Form 770s, even though the person's an illegal alien, and even though the Obamacare law was originally passed to forbid illegal aliens from getting it, when old man Biden came in, he said, well, this Form 770 will be considered the Form 770, which says the person is not legally present or has to come to a hearing to establish his legal presence, that can be used as proof of legal presence, lawful presence. And these people are now getting Obamacare.
Yeah.
And free Obamacare. It's because if you don't have an income and you're not a citizen, it's free.
So I get, you know, constitutionally, though, like I read through this article about El Paso declaring an emergency. I mean, constitutionally, they can just turn these people away. They should be able to. But there's all kinds of titles and laws written in. I think Title 8 is one of them that you know, foments this processing that we're talking about. And so it's like the Border Patrol's hands are tied, you know, to obey all these different rules and regulations when really constitutionally they're invaders and they should just be turned out. You know, if the government were serious, if they cared about us, and they don't, they could declare some sort of a state of emergency, a national emergency because of a war or whatever, doing this thing in the Ukraine. And they say, well, we're just turning all these people out because they could be they're invaders. But no, that's not going to happen.
Right. The idea that there's something somewhere in the Constitution that forbids us from enforcing our borders, that forbids us from preventing people entering our borders without our permission. I mean, it's ludicrous. We absolutely have the right to keep people out, to have borders. And the people who, I think, I'm not an expert in this, but I think for the most part, the people who work for the Immigration and Naturalization Service want to do their job. But you've got the, not just the Attorney General, but the Homeland Security Secretary, they're both Jews. Alejandro Mayorkas, he's a Jew, a foreign Jew, born in Cuba. And you know what I mentioned this before what he was doing before he became the Secretary of Homeland Security, he was on the board of directors of the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, biggest, most successful pro-immigration lobby in the United States. And now he's in charge of the border, which is just crazy. It's crazy stuff. And if we could say, well, look, he's a Jew, and look, he was on the board of directors of Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, it might start some light bulbs going off, but nobody can say that. And so the thing is, these Jews, and Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas, they want to open the border as wide open as it can, but there are people in the Immigration and Naturalization Service who want to do their job and who have been, for the past few years, able to use this – is it Title 47 – able to use that 42. At least to
42.
Somewhat 42 article title 42. They've been able to use that, you know, based on the coronavirus to at least turn some people away. And now even that's getting taken away from them.
and you have the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society in conjunction with things like the what Bush did, the Jr. brought us, the faith-based initiative, which gives Catholic charities.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, still with a journey. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And now even that's getting taken away from them.
And you have the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society in conjunction with things like the what Bush did, the Jr. brought us, the faith-based initiative, which gives Catholic charities all this money to supposedly better their communities, but they're really using it to bring in and sponsor these third-world migrants. And I saw this in Kentucky. Catholic charities brought in all kinds of Somalians and stuck them in this chicken plant, and they're just complete disruption. And that was in conjunction with faith-based initiative. That was the really underlying purpose of it. You know, it's just another form of bringing third worlders in to displace whites. Period.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately you have, I guess, some Catholic churches. You've got some liberal Protestant churches. I mean, you probably even have some Christian Zionist churches who get involved in this to an extent as well, who think that somehow they're doing God's work by, you know, by cooperating in this. They're doing charitable work. And it's really unfortunate.
And this is the irony. If these Catholic organizations were bringing in people from like South America and Mexico that are Catholic, you know, I would not agree with it. It would not be right, but you might see the logic. But they're bringing in Somalian Muslims, you know, Catholics bringing in Muslims. What's up with that? So that's how that's how you know the whole thing is just rotten to the core. And they're just collecting the money. You know, they're just pulling in the money and, you know, to hell with the consequences. No, these people are not Christian. They're not operating on any kind of Christian principle. They're just in it for the money. So,
yeah. And there is money involved. There's, you know, all sorts of incentives. They get tax funding. They get, you know, government funding, the faith-based initiative. It was a way of getting these organizations to do things that might have been harder. It might have been harder to get the bureaucracy to do it, but maybe it's easier to get the churches to do it. And if it's not easier, maybe it's easier to get support from evangelical Christians or whatever by calling it faith-based rather than a government program. Or maybe it's easier to get support from libertarians if it's, you call it faith-based and not a government program. But I know we're coming up towards the end of the show.
Just got a little bit left. Do you want to tease us about what's coming up on Patrick and Jeremy 2? Because I just blew through the prep. So
did we break the whole thing?
We did. We can get more, but do you have a little teaser for maybe what we could expect to discuss tomorrow at 1 p.m. on the Bugle?
No. Anything? I don't have the faintest idea.
What you mean is it's a surprise. It's a surprise.
It's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be good.
You got all kinds of stuff rolling around in your head. You're just going to surprise us. That's what it is.
Oh, there's lots rolling around. Dr. Duke and I had really good conversations, whether I'll draw on that. We had some good talks today. There's good stuff.
Thanks a lot for joining me, Patrick, and I'm sure you're going to stay classy, as all the RBN audience will. And we'll see you tomorrow on Patrick and Jeremy, Part 2.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.